So happy it's Thursday. Welcome, ESPN 1700. It's the Real Estate Radio Hour with your host,
David McKelvin,
and myself, Ryan White. In studio with us today, Judy Hamilton, partner with Hamilton Tharp. They are an accountancy corporation, right? CPA here in Solana Beach.
That's
welcome.
Right.
Thank you for joining us.
Good to be here.
The Hamilton Tharp organization works with a lot of professional athletes, Major League Baseball players, NFL, NBA, volleyball as well. And we talked a little bit about how that requires them to file taxes in many different states, and we'll kind of go through that just a little bit, as well as you're a former owner of the Quakes basketball team.
Baseball team,
excuse me. Where are the Quakes?
Rancho Cucamonga.
What do you know? Excellent. Okay. Additionally, repeat offender, Sean Weber, the love doctor, world-renowned family law attorney, comes to us from Brave, Weber, and Mack. Brings again his ebook about what's love got to do with it. He is an advocate of the collaborative divorce. Sean, welcome.
Thank you.
Ahead of us today on the show, we're going to discuss the 11 most important tax changes that have taken effect since 2012 and, of course, are implemented now in 2013. And a really substantial example as to why you need to change your strategy. And you've got a really concrete one where it's going to save you well over $100,000 to change the strategy, which we'll walk through, as well as Sean's going to talk a little bit about his ebook, What's Love Got to Do with It? And I'm told we're going to open up the phone lines.
Absolutely. We're going to take some live calls today from anybody out there that has divorce questions. But I want to make sure people realize that this does not create an attorney-client relationship. Isn't that right, Sean?
That's right. I can't be responsible for anything I say on the air.
Perfect.
It's always good to check with an attorney before you rely on something you hear on the radio.
Well, you know, with that said, there's a lot of things that we went over previously when you were in here, and one of the things that really is a gray area for a lot of divorces is this area of separation and who decides what the date of separation is and when we're, you know, because when you're talking about divorce, based on what you said previously, you've got the date of marriage.
That's
then
right.
You've got then the end, which is the divorce date, and everything in between is community property.
Well, it's even more complicated than that. You've got your date of marriage. If you think of it like goalposts in a football field, on one side you got your date of marriage. On the other side, you have the date of separation, which is not necessarily your date of divorce. It's usually before your date of divorce. In fact, you have to be have filed your petition 6 months before the divorce date could be final. So there's usually a pretty big lag time between the date of separation and the date of divorce. But yeah, anything that gets between the goalposts, date of marriage on one side and date of separation on the other side, that's typically community property with some exceptions.
Now, if you want to call in and you've got a question regarding divorce, call us at 1-866-405-1717. That's 866-405-1717. And I think the big gray area here is a lot of times people in the situation, let's just say that he moves out, she keeps the house. House goes up in value. They get a divorce. She claims he was out on date X. I get that appreciation because I was in the house. Is that something that you see?
Well, I mean, she would be wrong. She doesn't get the appreciation herself because she was in the house. What happens is they share in that appreciation, assuming it's a community property house. And so when it goes to time to sell the house, she gets half the equity and he would get half the equity.
Okay, looks like we have a caller.
All right.
Oh, I guess they
hung up.
We waited too long.
Maybe you answered their question already.
Maybe I did.
So when you are separated, this whole business of still being on title and whether or not you're still laying claim to any appreciation is up for grabs?
Well, no, the appreciation is always there. You have a house. You bought it together while you were married. It's community property. You're on title. Whether you're on title or not is not even the issue. It's whether or not there's community property. And when there's community property, you get the appreciation of that community property. So when the house goes for sale, you get to experience that appreciation.
Okay, sounds like we got a caller on the line. Welcome. You're on the line.
Hi.
Hi there.
I have a question. I was wondering, after you're separated, and let's say I keep paying my mortgage, then what happens to that money?
Well,
he's not paying.
Yeah, thanks for the question. I think if I understand correctly, it's after the date of separation, someone's moved out, and that someone is continuing to pay on the mortgage. Is that what you're asking?
Yes, exactly.
Well, there's an actual case on that in California called Marriage of Epstein. You get what's called an Epstein credit, and this is a kind of a jargony word that family law attorneys throw around. You know, and we spend a lot of time litigating over the Epstein credits, but essentially, if you take post separation your money, your separate property money, and you apply it towards a community asset, whether that be to pay the mortgage or whether it be to put a new roof on the house or whatever it is, you're entitled to a credit for what you put in.
Oh, good. That sounds great.
So what I always tell people is keep your receipts. You know, if you're spending money on maintenance or you're trying to keep the house up, keep the receipts. Now, on the flip side, there's this thing called a Watts credit. If you live in the house and it's a community property house, and you're not paying on the mortgage, you might owe what's called a Watts credit, which means you owe the fair rental value back to the community of what that house would rent for if it were to be rented on the open market.
Oh, well, who determines the rental value?
Typically, we use appraisers to help with that. A lot of times appraisers can be the person we can use, when we're trying to stay out of court, sometimes we'll just use real estate agents to help us come up with comparable values and things like that to determine what the fair rental value is or that sort of thing.
Kind of sounds like Epstein and Watts are in opposition.
Well, a lot of times they cancel each other out. So we'll see that a lot of times where there'll be a case and they'll be fighting over the Epstein credits or the Watts credits. And maybe typically it works this way. The husband moves out and he keeps paying the mortgage, and the wife stays in the house, and maybe she's taking care of the kids in there. Well, she'll have a Watts credit, but that'll be canceled out against the Epstein credit if she starts paying on the mortgage.
Makes sense.
So during the divorce, right, you've decided that you're going to get a divorce and people separate. And in this case, we're seeing a lot of houses appreciate. So some people weren't able to sell their house because of the fact that they just couldn't do it. They were upside down. And now that we're starting to see the real estate market appreciate and people are starting to put their house on the market and sell them now, they're starting to look at this thing and say, wait a second, I've been keeping this thing up. You've been living out there. And then maybe he or she that's been out says, well, I had to go out and get myself a new place to live, and I've been making mortgage payment or rent payments. And, there's just all these additional expenses that have come up with the separation. So this Epstein credit that you're talking about here, these essentially are the financial aspects of positives and negatives when you're looking at the final actual receipt of divorce.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, there's only so many things that can happen with a house when you're getting divorced. One is essentially you sell the house, and then we split the proceeds 50-50. The other option is that one of you buys the other one out, or you do a deferred sale.
If you're just tuning in, we're on the line with Sean Weber with Brave Weber and Mac. That's their website, Brave Weber and Mac. We're also taking calls in if you've got divorce-related questions for Sean Weber to answer. Call us at 866-405-1717. When we come back, we'll take your call.
The law is on your side. That's right. The laws are designed to protect consumers from being riddled with debt. They're designed that way so that you can become debt-free and get a fresh start. You should do what I did. When I had financial stress, I called William McDonald with the McDonald Legal Group. Find out how you can use the law to your advantage. Delete your debt and keep your stuff. You got credit card debt, timeshares, old IRS debt, collections, medical bills, any of this stuff can be wiped away with the Chapter 7 bankruptcy, and it only takes 100 days. Call William McDonald today. 800-997-1235. 800-997-1235. Or go online, sandiegobankruptcy.us. 800-997-1235.
This is Lisa with the McDonald Legal Group. We are a debt relief agency. We help people file for bankruptcy relief under the bankruptcy code.
Just having an estate plan or trust in place isn't always enough to make difficult times less challenging for you and your family. Life is full of change. This is why it's so important to have your estate documents reviewed regularly. Contact my attorney, Jared Causa with Neil Diamant Law Firm, and find out if a review of your estate plan is needed. 619-238-1712. Since life changes so quickly, make sure your estate is properly handled. 619-238-1712 for your free consultation. Just mention Mr. Credit. 619-238-1712.
I have the power, and I am going to use it. I'm going to vote in the upcoming elections. I vote. I decide. Everyone has a say. This July 7th, I will vote, and then I will decide. It is my right. It is my decision. Now is the time to make my opinion known. It is time for me to decide. Electoral Institute of Citizen Participation for the state of Baja California. The words of Fernando Castro Trenti. Among the actions of his team's government, there will be support for the entrepreneurs in Baja California. A training and credit program will be introduced so that you can immediately start off your new business. And if you already have a business but it hasn't grown, he will create special credits for you in addition to a training program and certification. He does it so you can earn more. Everyone in Baja California deserves it. Fernando Castro Trenti, Governor.
Welcome back. So happy it's Thursday. ESPN 1700 AM, the Real Estate Radio Hour with your host,
David McKelvin.
And myself, Ryan White. We just heard from Sean Weber, family law attorney with Brave Weber and Mac. The website, bravewebermac.com. That's the website, bravewebermac.com. You've got a blog attached to that website as well. I think you get a lot of traffic on. It's a good resource for anybody that is, well, contemplating, I guess, family legal problems.
Yeah, I try to put lots of information out there. It's a good place to peruse. If you go to the website, there's a link to the blog on there, and it's some good reading.
Most recent one, for Father's Day, 6 tips for dads in a custody battle, how to put your kids first. Well, I don't know how well that fits in for Father's Day or not, but I guess it's Father's directed, and we're not too far from Father's Day. Maybe there's a reason to check that out.
Well, you know, there's a lot of single dads out there.
There are. Well, before we get to Judy's ebook of the 11 most important tax changes taking effect, we're just going to go back a little bit to the conversation we were having during the break. And you had talked about the question you're asked the most when divorce occurs. What is that question, Judy?
Who gets the deduction?
Who gets the deduction? And what deduction are you talking about?
Well, the question, I believe, to Sean was the person who's moved out of the house continues to make payments. So there's usually issues with interest and property taxes. So basically, it's the person who's paying those, making those payments. And as he said, make sure you keep receipts and proof of payment.
Got it. So the person who gets deduction is the person making the payments. Well, that seems fairly intelligent answer. I mean, intuitive.
You know, and that's a very important question to ask, who's getting the deduction, because when we go to calculate child support and spousal support, that becomes a relevant factor, is who's getting that mortgage interest deduction,
yes.
Because it's all about how much money do you have after you pay your taxes.
I see.
And, you know, the more of a deduction you have, the more support you can pay.
Got it.
Well, in fact, you were talking about a situation where someone had actually delayed the divorce because they wanted to take that $500,000 exemption, right?
Well, the $500,000 residence exclusion for selling your house on capital gains. And I'm not the tax expert here, but what they're doing is rather than get divorced so that they're limited to a $250,000 residence exclusion, they're delaying the divorce until next year so they can get the $500,000 residence exclusion. A lot of people are doing that.
Yeah, they just have to be careful because there's the requirement that you have lived in the house 2 years out of the prior 5 years. So the timing is critical, and they really need to be working with someone like Sean to make sure that they're doing it correctly.
Yeah, and I always tell them they really need to be working with a CPA.
Pass the buck.
Yeah, it sounds like we're really talking about the real financial aspects of protecting your assets, even through a situation like divorce. You know, people are looking at the bottom line and making sure that they keep more than they spend.
All right, Judy, before we got on the air, when we were in the green room, so to speak, going over this, and, you know, people out there may think, wow, it's only June. I waited till April 14th to do my taxes. It's barely 2 months since I've done my taxes, right? Why am I talking about taxes now? I got another 9 months left to worry about that. Well, again, in your ebook, The 11 Most Important Tax Changes Taking Effect That Have Taken Effect in 2013, you have a client that in 2012, client A, you did their taxes for, and you ran a fictitious scenario to see with the new changes to the tax law here in 2013, if they didn't change anything, no different strategies, they would be paying an extra $110,000 based on the changes that have occurred here in 2013.
That's correct.
So $110,000, that's a lot. I mean, it would make sense to get ahead of that tax wave, so to speak, as much as possible with some tax planning strategies. And that's kind of why we're bringing this to you all the way as early as June.
That's correct.
So again, we're going – the website is ht2cpa.com, Hamilton Tharp 2, because there's two Tharps.
That's right.
ht2cpa.com. Going to go over her ebook about the 11 most important tax changes that have taken effect in 2013. And in no particular order, we were talking a little bit about the AMT, Alternative Minimum Tax Relief. And I read your explanation of it here. I got to be honest. I don't totally understand it. What happened with AMT?
Well, the alternative minimum tax is the tax that we've had around for quite a while. The original intent of that tax was that everybody would pay some kind of minimum tax. But as the, over the years, the tax rates have changed. They've gotten a little bit lower. You suddenly had a lot of people paying alternative minimum tax. The problem that we had was we never knew what that tax rate was going to be until usually the end of the year when Congress would finally pass the rule about what the exemption would be. So finally, this year, when they did the Tax Act, which, by the way, they did on January the 2nd of 2013, which made a lot of things retroactive to 2012, but they've now made that calculation permanent. For most people, it was a difference of about $6,000 to $10,000 in taxes, depending on what their income was. So at least now we can plan for it without waiting till that last day or two of the end of the year to determine what that number is going to be.
So theoretically, it's not going to change in the future. I mean, that's what we're thinking.
Right.
It's going to remain
right.
It's now permanent.
Permanent.
Wasn't this put in place like years and years ago when the incomes were much lower? And they didn't really – this didn't affect a lot of people. Now with the dollar value going down and essentially incomes increasing, so it looks like people are making a lot more. I mean, there's people out there that make $300,000 a year. This starts to affect them. Isn't that right?
Much lower than that because what's happened too is, especially in states such as California where you have a high state income tax – that typically, that alone will put people in alternative minimum tax unless they're over the exemption amount. So now they've fixed the exemption amounts at a higher level. But quite frankly, it's become such a big revenue producer for the government. It's one of the things that they really can't get rid of right now.
I can see that. We're on with Judy Hamilton, CPA and partner with Hamilton Tharp, the website ht2cpa.com. That's at ht2cpa.com. Going over her ebook about the 11 most important tax changes that have taken effect in 2013. I think another really interesting one here is higher tax rates for upper income individuals. How much has that changed?
Well, the old 35% tax bracket is now increased to 39.6%. So you've got an automatic increase there. There are a number of other things that have sort of been put in that effectively make your taxes higher. The itemized deductions are now limited as your income increases. There's also the new Medicare tax, the 3.8% add-on tax when your adjusted gross income is over $250,000. You also lose some of your personal exemptions. So all of that basically makes for a higher effective tax rate.
So there seems to be this constant battle, right? There's people out there making money. There's people out there, defending those that make money from what the IRS is writing their laws and claiming that they are owed tax and things like that. So there's this constant battle on there. You're right in the middle of it. And, here we're stating that these higher income individuals, say, for example, a $400,000 earner, and you work with a lot of these people because you work with a lot of sports professionals, NFL, NBA, this sort of thing. You're very much involved in that. And, you know, these individuals are having to pay 39%. That's close to $100,000 when you're making $400,000. That's a tremendous amount of money that you'd have to go out and tax. And, you know, I'm always a believer that, you know, people are hiring CPAs, they're hiring attorneys. And, you know, these higher income people, yes, they have to pay these individuals like attorneys and CPAs to defend them. But in the end, they don't spend as much money on taxes. Am I wrong?
There is a limited amount, though, that we can do. They are still going to pay more, even if they're working with very competent and educated professionals. If you keep increasing the rates, for example, you know, California passed Proposition 30 last year that was retroactive and pushed people's tax rates up to 12.3%.
Right. So they come out with some new weapon, right? Some increased rate or something, right? And so you're then having to figure out, you know, what do we do? Do we create a corporation? You know, how do we offset this new tax so that clients, like you said earlier, don't have that additional $100,000 in taxes out the door?
That's correct. There are opportunities for income shifting between family members. Should you be gifting some of your assets to other family members? So, yes, there are things that you can do, but it basically comes down to managing your tax liability and doing it legally.
And I think that's one of the things we're trying to get across here is tax planning strategy. It's not too early.
It is not too early.
If anything, the year's halfway over.
Yes. Well, especially since even though the capital gains rates have increased, and I've seen a lot of publications saying that it's now 20%, you know, plus the additional 3.8%. So that's your new capital gains rate. If you can manage your income so that you're in the lower tax rates, you can still get your capital gains at possibly 15% and even maybe 0% on your capital gains. So especially if you have a big transaction, such as Sean's example, where maybe someone is selling their house and they have a gain of more than $500,000, so they're going to have a long-term capital gain, managing the rest of that income is going to be very beneficial for looking at getting it at a lower tax rate.
That brings up a really good point. A lot of times I have clients that have lived in a home, say, 30 years. You know, they bought it for $40,000 and we're selling it for like $800,000, so clearly above the $500,000 exemption as a married couple.
Yes.
However, over that many years, you know, they changed out the carpet, they had an addition, you know, they acquired, you know, a number of additions, and they spent a lot of money. So they earned money, paid taxes on that earning, went to Home Depot, hired a contractor, had somebody put some, you know, additional upgrades in the home. And when they sell it, a good financial planner, like I'm told, goes and looks at all of that and figures out, well, wait a second, you know, you got your $500,000 exemption, plus over the 30 years you've lived in there, you spent $30,000 or $300,000 on upgrades.
Right.
Now you cancel out the taxes. Isn't that?
Yeah, the way the calculation is done is based on your net sales price compared to your basis. The basis, in most cases, is what you originally paid for it plus your improvements.
Well, that's a good point. You should bring that up because a lot of people are confused. The basis point is the purchase price, not the loan amount.
Exactly.
Right? Because people say, well, I owe $300,000. Well, you bought it for $40,000.
Exactly.
You know, that $300,000 is not your tax. It's not your basis. Your basis is $40,000. So you've got to base your numbers off of that number, that purchase price, that price you're probably paying your property taxes on.
That's a very good point, because we see that so often where people really are looking at the loan, and we have to correct them and say, no, it's what you paid for it. The other thing, though, that people may not be aware of when it comes to, especially with homes, is with community property, if you have one spouse who is deceased, that house gets stepped up to the fair market value at the date of death of the first spouse. So we frequently get asked about, the second spouse dying or second spouse having the house and being really concerned about qualifying for the $250,000 exclusion now, and really it typically is not an issue because that basis for the entire value of the house has stepped up.
Now, hang on a minute. You're giving my clients an incentive that I don't think
I
they should have.
Yeah, right. There's plenty of incentive right there.
We're on with Judy divorce. Hamilton, partner here with Hamilton Tharp. Her website, HT2CPA, HT2CPA, or the helpline, 888-551-2593. That's the number, 888-551-2593. Going over their ebook on the 11 most important changes, tax changes that have taken effect in 2013. She just proposed an example, which we're going to talk more about, as far as how planning strategies or lack of planning strategies would have cost her client an extra $110,000. So ahead of us, when we come back, we're going to go through that scenario.
Hi, Credit Repair Mike here. I'm very happy to be the only credit repair company recommended by Mr. Credit. And I hope the information I've brought to the show has helped you in some way. Right now, our company is growing so rapidly that we are looking to hire more sales agents immediately. So if you know someone who is out of work and wants to make some extra money, we have both full-time and part-time positions available. Our credit repair program is only $4.99 per person. Yes, $4.99 per person no matter what. And we have a money-back guarantee. The program sells itself. That's why Mr. Credit recommends us. Because you can't get full-service credit repair this cheap from anywhere else. Call me, Credit Repair Mike, at 1-800-525-1349 to find out more. That's 1-800-525-1349 or go to creditrepairmike.com. Creditrepairmike.com. That's creditrepairmike.com.
If you have student loans, listen very carefully to this message. Student loan debt in America recently passed credit card debt as the number one debt held by Americans. The good news is Congress has taken action and there is now a program that can help you save money on your student loans. Call 877-927-6864 right now if you want to save money on your student loans. That's 877-927-6864. You can consolidate your student loans into one low monthly payment, get your deferment time renewed, and even get some of the principal balance forgiven in some cases. You can change the repayment plan as often as you need. There are experts in this program ready for your call. 877-927-6864. That's 877-927-6864. You can stretch your repayment term out from 10 years to as much as 30 years if you need. 877-927-6864 right now to save money on your student loans.
At Hanes, we know you hate annoying things. That's why we got rid of tags on all our t-shirts and underwear. Now we have some things in the sports world we'd like to get rid of. They include television timeouts in basketball, bad calls, all of them, when every basketball season ends. Did I mention bad calls? Being blocked on the Jumbotron by the person with big hair in front of you. Tags are annoying, so we got rid of them. And now we have our sights on annoying sports things. Hanes, go tagless.
Get Father's Day savings at the Home Depot on a Ryobi One Plus 18-volt lithium-ion drill and impact driver combo kit. Just $99. Save $50 while giving him a drill, an impact driver, two lithium-ion batteries, a charger, and case. Give Dad the gift of doing with a special buy on a Ryobi combo kit. Just $99. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only while supplies last. See store for details.
This is John Feinstein, and this is a CBS Sports Minute. Lindell Stone was offered a scholarship this week to play football at UCLA. He's a 6'2", 190-pound quarterback. The Bruins expect him to be an asset to the program in 2017. Stone is an eighth grader. He's not the first eighth grader offered a scholarship by a major football program this spring and undoubtedly won't be the last. That might sound fairly harmless. After all, the kid can't actually sign a letter of intent until he's a senior. Except, it isn't that simple. An athlete who has been offered a college scholarship at such a young age wears a star label. It adds lots more pressure as he starts high school to what is already a high-pressure situation. Neither the NCAA nor anyone else can police verbal offers or verbal commitments, but coaches can police themselves to understand that what they're doing is wrong. Sadly, they aren't likely to do that anytime soon. I'm John Feinstein.
your car engine has 75,000 miles or more, keep it running longer by switching to high mileage oil. High mileage oil contains special conditioners that help seal and prevent leaks, help restore lost compression and performance, and protect worn engine parts. Conventional motor oil does not provide the same level of protection as special high mileage formulas do. Visit AutoZone for a wide selection of high mileage oils and anything else that you need to do your own oil change. Extend the life of your older engine with help from AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Mom, we live in busy times.
Excuse me?
Never making time for each other? We should all really go to family night at Ryan's or Old Country Buffet. Kids eat for just 99 cents.
And this has nothing to do with the unlimited desserts?
Did I mention it's only 99 cents?
Every Thursday night is family night. From 5 to 8 p.m., kids dine in for just 99 cents with the purchase of an adult meal. Plus, enjoy special weekly activities for the whole family. Only at Ryan's and Old Country Buffet.
We're nuts
about football.
That's why we're teaming up to help wide receiver Wes Welker take down defensive end DeMarcus Ware in the Depend Players Challenge for Charity.
Actually, we're pulling for DeMarcus.
But we talked about Welker over breakfast burritos.
Get together with your loved ones and vote for the player you want to give the $50,000 from Depend to the V Foundation. Voting ends July 1st.
Together, we can help Wes.
DeMarcus.
Win for a good cause.
Vote at thegreatamericantryon.com.
What she said.
If Dad hasn't already spelled it out for you, this Father's Day, he wants new golf gear. But don't worry, because the only word you need to remember to give Dad his day is Golfsmith. With exclusive Father's Day deals, gift-giving expertise, plus a huge selection of the latest and greatest clubs and accessories, Golfsmith is your destination for everything Dad. Because the gift that never stops giving is a better game. Give Dad his day, only at Golfsmith.
Welcome back to ESPN 1700. What's love got to do with it? We are on the line with Sean Weber from Brave Weber and Mack. And we're on the line also with Judy Hamilton, CPA, to the NFL, NBA. And these people are traveling abroad quite a bit. You know, so we've got a lot of interesting questions to ask her regarding, you know, what's happening with taxes in other countries. But, you know, more importantly, we've got Father's Day coming up here. And one of the things that you have on your blog, in addition to the top 10 divorce songs, which I find very interesting, you've got the top six tips for dads in a custody battle, how to put your kids first. Sounds like a pretty important topic.
Well, it is. You know, I want to first say, you know, I'm not like a father's rights attorney. There's a lot of these father's rights organizations and fight for dads, and I have dads and moms. You know,
right. I mean,
it's Father's Day,
and I
right?
could see how this applies to both.
It really does. You know, the key here is there's a lot of misconceptions, and sometimes they're based in reality on what a dad does after a divorce as a parent. And basically what this is a call to the dads to step up to the plate and be a good dad, because that's what's going to help you in your custody proceeding.
Well, it really seems to me like, let's just say the dad is thrown into the world as a single dad all of a sudden, and he's wanting to recreate himself, if you will, and he's got maybe a girlfriend or two, and she's demanding part of his time, right, and
right.
money. And he's got this ex-wife or this wife that's pulling him in different directions as well, as children that are demanding in some cases. And there's a lot of juggling going on over there.
Well, that's right. And if he wants to do well in a family court situation, he's got to get the story right. And if the story is that he's running off with the side dish instead of, you know, living up to his fatherly responsibilities, he's not going to do as well. So what I always tell my guys to do is to, you know, make a list. What are your priorities? Is it really important to you to have a relationship with your kids? And you'd be surprised. Some are like, well, you know, it's important, but not as important as water skiing, you know. But so if you're honest about that, then be honest about it, and then don't think that you're going to get 50% custody. You know, a lot of times guys, they just want to have 50-50. But it's not going to happen if you don't step up to the plate. And so one of the first things on my list is, you know, be responsible. You know, that's the number three on the list. Be responsible. Be somebody that can be relied on as the parent in the situation, not just one of the other kids.
Well, having not actually been to divorce court,
does
the judge really say, what are you doing with the kids over the weekend?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, this is a big part of it. I don't know that the judge says it, but, you know, we bring in psychologists and we bring in mental health professionals, and they're looking at this. And a lot of what you see is, well, you know, he's just nothing but a Disneyland dad. He takes the kids to Disneyland, but he doesn't do anything to make sure they get their homework done. He doesn't do anything to make sure that they're eating healthy food or they're taking their medicine or whatever it is they're supposed to do. And so this is an opportunity for the dad to step up and say, okay, I'm going to do that. I'm going to be responsible. I'm not going to give my ex an excuse to rightly say that I'm not responsible.
If you're just tuning in, we are on the line with Sean Weber of Brave Weber and Mac. In fact, we're taking live calls. If you want to call in, give us a call live on the air right now. If you've got a divorce question, 866-405-1717. That's the line. 866-405-1717. Be involved, right? I mean, what we're talking about here with the dads, and then in a lot of cases, moms, because these days, you know, there's a lot of liberation out there right now. These moms are disassociating themselves with the children. Dad's caught, you know, with taking care of them, taking on that role. But, you know, the way this is written, based on the fact that we've got Father's Day coming up here, is really to get involved, to step up, because, you know, this is a big deal for the kids.
Yeah, you need to get the story right at family court, and the way you get the story right is you be the dad that the court would want to let the kids have time with. And it's not, I don't want to say that all of my dads that I'm working with are irresponsible knuckleheads. That's not the case. I've got a lot of dads that really take this to heart and are great and step right up and do what they need to do. Sometimes we see that the other spouse is not willing to let the dad play the role of dad and is wanting to kind of marginalize that dad. And that's something that's got to be watched as well.
I hear stories where it can get really ugly, where, you know, people start accusing each other of things that never took place. And then, you know, you get what is it they call it when the spouse, you know, has the child and begins to teach the child to not love the other parent?
Yeah, there's this phenomenon. There's some junk science out there, but there is a phenomenon that goes on that's kind of in the popular media right now called parental alienation. There's even people that believe that it's a syndrome. There's a lot of debate about that. You won't get very far in court if you claim parental alienation syndrome, but what can happen is if one parent speaks negatively of the other parent in the presence of the child, that can actually be a basis in family court to lose custody. And almost 100% of the custody order says, do not do that. Make sure that your kids are shielded from the adult business. All they need to know is they've got two parents that love them.
Mm,
they don't
point.
Need to know about the side dish.
You know, and I would go on to say, that in addition to actually having a case to plead to the judge, you're actually, you know, really instilling father-children role here. You know, this is not just for the divorce proceedings. This is really for their better life.
Well, here's the thing. I'm always telling my clients, your family's not ending when you get divorced. The people are all still there. It's just transitioning. You're going from parents who were married to parents who are not married. And the research is very clear. The way to screw your kids up in the divorce is to turn it into a very conflictual kind of a situation.
Looks like we have a caller coming in.
All right.
Caller?
Welcome. Hi. You're on the line.
Am I calling the radio show?
Yep, you're on. You got a question?
Okay.
You're on the air.
Yeah, I had a question for Sean Weber. I'm actually a co-author of a new book called Not in the Child's Best Interest.
Okay.
And I wanted to ask him a question about some of the things, some of the approaches they were saying that they take when the parents are considered to not be behaving in what they consider the child's best interest.
Okay.
Well, before Sean answers, could you turn your radio down in the background? We're getting a lot of feedback.
Oh, sorry,
that.
That's your show. Hold on.
It's a great show, but we don't need to hear it twice.
I can find the button here. Hold on.
So why don't you go ahead and tell me what your question is. What is it that you're wanting to know specifically?
Okay, yeah. I wanted to ask him if he's ever brought up the fundamental parental rights to defend against. He mentioned that sometimes the mothers try to marginalize the fathers. So I wanted to ask him, has he ever brought up a defense framed in fundamental parental rights for that father or parent, whichever one, to stop those types of infringements on the other parent.
Yeah, I think I understand your question. And there,
yeah.
You know, the family code is clear that there's not a gender litmus test about who is the better parent.
Mm-hmm.
What we're looking at is what's in the best interest of the children. And the default kind of understanding is, and what I hear most judges saying, is that it's best for the kids to have both parents.
I also hear what you're saying is that there seems to be an unfolding here with regards to this parental alienation and what really goes on. And, you know, it's just...
Yeah, I'm careful to kind of stay away from the parental alienation because the science behind it is kind of suspect. However, there are laws about, like, joint legal custody, for instance. That means that you have the right, both parents have the right to make decisions about what's in the child's best interest. And what you'll have a lot of times, you'll have one parent that'll take the kids to the doctor, not tell the other parent.
You know, it's refreshing to hear that when I hear the parental alienation thing show up, it's usually after the fact. You know, it's where people are saying, this happened to me. And I think what the caller is saying is that there are new things that are showing up that you can bring to their attention that are actually in their defense. Because this is a strategy that one spouse or the other may be employing to gain more custody time.
Well, and one thing that the family code puts a premium on, and judges as well, is who's going to be more likely to foster an affectionate relationship with the other parent.
Okay.
Well, you need to be that parent.
I think the other question is, too, Sean, is for Attorney Weather, is when they bring up these subject matters and then they start fighting in court and the judge tries to assert their best interest just because the parents are fighting, I'm just wondering if you've ever tried an approach where you say, okay, these parents aren't going to get along, Judge, but they still each have their individual rights.
Oh, sure. I mean, we don't phrase it in terms of individual rights. We just rely on the family code, which eliminates those parental rights that you're talking about.
Right, but doesn't the family code actually put the judge in a position to choose which parent is best, like you just said?
Well,
that they're going to choose which one will foster the relationship between...
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. And I had a situation where a judge pointed at these two parents that were going at it with each other. And the judge asked the one parent, do you love your children? And then pointed at the other parent with his finger, do you love your children? And then he looked at both of them and says, well, I don't love your children. Yet you're making me make the decision about what's in your child's best interest. Please go in this other room and sit down with counsel and try to figure this out so I don't have to make this decision. Because you're putting me in a position I have to choose. Now, for most parents, we can work out a joint custodial relationship, but sometimes they're so toxic with one another that the courts just... they have to decide what to do, and they put the kid into it.
That's what I'm asking, Sean.
Well, we have to actually go to break here, and when we come back, we're going to bring back in Judy Hamilton, CPA, founder of Hamilton Thorpe, and also wrap up with Sean Weber. So if you have some questions, you know, feel free to call us back.
Hi, Mr. Credit here. I can't tell you how excited I am to have Bruce McPherson with Security One Lending as a regular guest on the show and my go-to guy for reverse mortgages. Listen, if you're 62 years or older and you own a home, whether you have a mortgage or not, chances are you can benefit from one of today's HECM reverse mortgage options. Just call Bruce McPherson at 866-223-7174. That's 866-223-7174. You can just email reversemortgagebruce@gmail.com. Over the past 9 years, Bruce has really earned his reputation as an honest, ethical reverse mortgage advisor, and he's someone I genuinely trust, and you can too. Don't let old myths about reverse mortgages keep you from calling to get the facts. Today's government-insured HECM reverse mortgages are incredibly flexible, whether you need money now or just want to be prepared for the future. Call your local expert, Bruce McPherson, today and get all the answers you need for free. 866-223-7174. That's 866-223-7174, or just email reversemortgagebruce@gmail.com. Have you been selected for an audit by the IRS? Do you owe the IRS money and want to find a way to settle your account as quickly and easily as possible? Hi, Mr. Credit here. Listen, I had the IRS come knocking on my door over $600, which I didn't even owe them as it turns out. I know how scary this stuff can be. The good news is I know exactly what to do. My tax attorney, Jeffrey Kahn, is board certified and works only on tax-related issues. He understands how the IRS works and how to make the most
most of each situation. And get this, mention Mr. Credit when you call and get a free consultation and a tax resolution plan, $500 value, absolutely free. Call Jeffrey Kahn today at 866-494-6829. That's 866-494-6829 today and get these tax issues behind you as quickly as possible. 866-494-6829. That's 866-494-6829.
Progressive presents Flo's newest smash hit. The Name Your Price tool gives you lots of coverage options.
The Name Your Price tool. You give us a budget and we'll show you a range of coverage options. But we can't go over all the dessert options. Your server will be back in just a second and he'll explain.
The Name Your Price tool, only from Progressive. Visit Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Membership helps Strictly Bicycles keep business tuned.
Building a bike is like building a small business. With a bike, it's about weight, and a business, it's cutting costs.
The Plum Card from American Express Open offers an early pay discount or extra time to pay your bill with no interest.
It helps with my cash flow and lets me reinvest so I can put my money to work.
Find out more at open.com.
I'm Nelson Gutierrez, and I'm a member of Making My Money Work As Hard As I Do.
This is what membership is. This is what membership does.
Terms and conditions apply.
Para resultados y más información acerca de este programa, consultar la página espnradio1700.com.
Welcome back. ESPN 1700 AM, the Real Estate Radio Hour with your host,
David McKelvin.
And myself, Ryan White. Well, that was interesting. First time we've tried live calls. Didn't go so bad.
Didn't go so well either. But yeah.
Well, you know, better than I thought it would. There's always going to be speed bumps in the way. We're going to transition now to Judy Hamilton. We talked to her a little bit about the 11 most important tax changes that have taken effect in 2013. And she has a really good example that we talked about how one of her clients in 2012, when they redid their same taxes on a hypothetical scenario for 2013 without any implementing any planning strategies, they ended up paying an additional $110,000 tax liability, I guess. And I just wanted you to elaborate on that because a lot of people out there might be thinking this is way too early for tax planning strategies. You'd mentioned a couple things that you may be able to assist that person with so they can avoid that. And just in general, you know, what someone might be able to do to avoid this big $110,000 tax implication?
Well, as we discussed, this was caused by a number of things. But the main thing that occurred was the large amount of income. So are there things that we can do to reduce the income? In my particular case, the client had a big capital gain in 2012. Can we look at maybe harvesting some capital losses during the year? And it's possible to sell something at a loss and then buy it back in 31 days and be in the same position that you were in before you sold it. Another thing to do is look at donating the appreciated stock. So if you've got a big increase in a stock, giving it to a charitable organization, 501c3 organization, allows you to not recognize the tax on the gain, but get a deduction for the fair market value. So doing strategies that will lower the income, even though we now have limited itemized deductions, if we can lower the income, we get more benefit out of those itemized deductions. So all of those strategies go into place in ways that we can just be more tax efficient. And hopefully at the end of the day, I think you said it, Dave, end up with more money in your pocket at the end of the day.
Well, that's the idea. And frankly, that's one of the major reasons you'd go see somebody like Hamilton Tharp. The website ht2cpa.com. Well, back to your list here of 11 most important tax changes that have taken effect in 2013. You have the new 3.8% net investment income tax. I think that's kind of what we refer to as the Obamacare tax. Right. And I think this has a lot to do with or implications. I think a lot of people are thinking of it as a sales tax on real estate. And that's not exactly the way it's played out. But how does that work? And what are the implications of that?
It's an additional tax that high income taxpayers are going to have to pay in 2013. Don't forget, too, that you also have the other part of the Obamacare tax is the payroll tax now for taxpayers that have over $250,000 of earned income. So that you can actually pay both of these taxes. The 3.8% is on any kind of investment income that goes over $250,000. So if it's the sale of your house now that's generated that income, your interest in dividends, I think what we're going to see is a pretty big shift in people looking more at tax-free investments, municipal bonds. Tax-free income does not fall into that calculation. So if you're looking at sort of what do I have for my investments on a net after-tax basis, should I be shifting some of my investments into good quality interest and dividend generating things that are tax-free, and then they don't fall into that big Medicare tax.
And you see your clients doing things like that?
Yes, we are working with them now for coming up with that strategy.
Got it. Okay.
So, Judy, I've got a question for you. I mean, you seem basically like you could do this in your sleep. How long have you been doing this?
Since 1979.
Wow, 1979. Okay, so you've been doing it for a while.
Yes. I think they had only changed the tax code one time since it was first implemented in 1954 when I started. And as you know, we've probably had about 1,000 tax bills since then.
So every year there's a like phone-sized book of changes. Is that right?
That's correct.
So it would seem to me that not all CPAs are created equal. Frankly, as a consumer that uses a CPA, it sounds kind of scary that you know someone might not know the advantages that I can use to save money.
I think anyone needs to do their due diligence and make sure that people are qualified. You know, our office, we have a number of tax experts in different areas. We have a trust and estate tax expert, a business entity tax expert. We obviously have several people that work with the professional athletes because of multi-state taxation issues. As well as foreign tax issues.
And so that actually brings up a point that it seems to me that, you know, you're born here, you pay here, right?
Pretty much it.
You become a professional athlete and you move to Greece, let's say, and you're volleyball or what have you, and you're receiving a certain amount of income. Is our country, as compared to other countries, higher in tax, or are we on par with tax, or I mean, are there other countries that are worse than the IRS?
I would say we're middle of the road. There are countries that are worse, but it's not uncommon for the professional athletes to get a special foreign tax rate of anywhere from 20% to 30%.
A special foreign tax rate,
right? That's
well, it doesn't sound very special. I wouldn't want that special. Today, right? I mean, perhaps if you had the income, it's okay. Yeah. But tell me more about this special tax
rate.
Well,
compared to 39.6%, it's pretty good.
Okay, so instead of 39%, it's 20%.
Right.
That sounds like a huge advantage to me.
Yeah. It's a big difference.
It can be. There are also some other things with foreign taxpayers, too, that you can look and see if they qualify for a foreign exclusion where they don't have to pay any U.S. tax. So otherwise, if they are paying in the foreign country, you get a tax credit for the taxes they paid. But also remember, too, that it's not just if you're born here. If you come here and you go to work and have a green card and then you start moving around, you're still taxed as a U.S. citizen. So you would still be filing a tax return in the U.S.
You had mentioned you're doing something with a Luke Walton Foundation and a bowling tournament.
Yes.
What's going on with that?
Yes. Well, I think this is really good for some of Sean's people to support. This is the Stars and Strikes Celebrity Bowling Tournament. It's third year. It's going to be September 12th from 5:30 to 8:30 at the North County Tavern and Bowl in Escondido. If you want more information, you can get that at indigovillage.com. One of the benefactors of the bowling tournament is the Indigo Village Education Foundation, and they provide scholarships for people who can't afford to take parenting classes. So it's really a good program. Luke and his mom, Susie, are very well known in the community and have done a lot for the community. And it's absolutely a blast as an event as well. So,
well, thank you for that. Sounds like a worthwhile cause. We're on with Judy Hamilton. She's a partner with Hamilton Tharp. The website, HT2CPA, HT, the number 2, CPA. We talked about a few of the, 11 most important tax changes that have taken effect in 2013. Judy, thank you. And also, Sean Weber, family law attorney with Brave Weber and Mac, the website bravewebermac.com. That's the website, bravewebermac.com. Talked a little bit about the collaborative divorce and his goalpost theory about what happens before divorce, during and after divorce with respect to the house and the assets. One final thing. My wife is 39 weeks pregnant. There is a very high probability that I'm going to have a new baby within the next week, which means Ms. McKelvin here is going to be running solo.
I want you guys to
keep an eye on him. He's going to
say
he's going to do
all the things
all
of the rules
that I don't let him do normally until next week.